their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The only time it will not be enforced is if someone overseas can demonstrate that there is a bona fide connection with people in the United States.
Several legal experts surprised today that the Supreme Court put back in place parts of President Trump's travel ban. The court said they'll look at the full bill itself when they come back to their October term. And the court left in place some restrictions that will allow people to come into the country.
Most people, certainly the ones involved in the court cases, did have some kind of connection to the U.S. They knew somebody here. They were a relative. They wanted to get their mother-in-law here. They wanted to enroll at the University of Hawaii, as some of the people in this case did.
President Trump going after Democrats and former President Obama in a series of tweets. Democrat went after the Democrats on Twitter, calling them obstructionists, saying Republican senators are working hard on health care and Democrats are doing all they can to keep any kind of improvements from happening. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is John Taffer from Bar Rescue. I've seen firsthand what restaurant owners can do with the capital to manage cash flow gaps. Cabbage is so important. Cabbage provides lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds without reapplying. I signed up and had a decision in minutes. Cabbage has helped over 100,000 small businesses from every industry. Get started at cabbage.com/owner or 855-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty, because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. That's 888-827-7549. Call 888-827-7549.
A college professor who posted online that Otto Warmbier, the student who died after maltreatment by North Korean officials, got what he deserved out of a job. Here's the story.
Kathy Detweiler was a contract adjunct professor of anthropology at the University of Delaware. She faced a backlash after she posted on Facebook that Otto Warmbier's parents are to blame for him thinking he could get away with whatever he wanted. She went on to say that that might be the case in the U.S. where, quote, young, rich, clueless white males routinely get away with raping women, but not North Korea. The university condemned her statements and released a statement on Sunday saying Detweiler would not be rehired in the future.
A new report finds that two Jeep models are among the most American-made vehicles for consumers. Cars.com's annual list showed the Jeep Wrangler and the Jeep Cherokee at the top of the list, knocking out the Toyota Camry and the Honda Accord. Criteria for the report has changed to include location of the assembly plant, the percentage of parts made in the U.S. on the vehicle, and where the vehicle's engine and transmission are assembled. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. I need to take care of my heart at the cellular level with Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 from Life Extension. This powerful antioxidant promotes heart health and cellular energy production. Now you can get Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 at half off. plus free shipping and handling, plus a free six-month subscription to Life Extension Magazine. Call toll-free 855-870-6622, 855-870-6622, or go to lifeextension.com/war. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Congressional Budget Office due to release their report on the GOP Senate health care plan today.
The Congressional Budget Office is working with the Joint Committee on Taxation to calculate the bill's impact if it were to become law. A previous CBO analysis of the House version of the health care bill predicted 23 million more people would be uninsured by 2026, while the deficit would be cut by nearly $120 billion. Maine Senator Susan Collins tells ABC's This Week she has deep concerns about the bill and will decide whether to support it based on the CBO report.
I want to wait to see the CBO analysis, but I have very serious concerns about the bill.
Joe Gomez, Washington.
It was a big weekend for Elon Musk's private space company, SpaceX. Here's Mark Mayfield.
The company launched and landed a rocket on Sunday. The first stage Falcon 9 rocket landed successfully on a drone ship in the Pacific Ocean and will likely be reused at a future launch. The rocket launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. It's delivering 10 Iridium communication satellites into orbit around the Earth. It follows Friday's successful launch of a communication satellite into orbit from Cape Canaveral in Florida.
A jowly three-year-old Mastiff named Martha is the winner of the world's ugliest dog contest this year. One person sums up the 125-pound pooch as so ugly, she's beautiful. Judges say Martha won for her uncontrollable drool, baggy skin, droopy red eyes, and loud snoring. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. The weather today, mostly sunny with a high near 80, west winds 7 to 9 miles per hour. And tonight it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 55, southwest winds 5 to 7 miles an hour, and it'll become calm after midnight. Tuesday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 78, calm winds becoming west 5 to 8 miles an hour in the afternoon. The chance of precipitation is 20%, and it more or less depends on where you're at. Tuesday night, be partly cloudy with a low around 53, west winds around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 80, calm winds becoming west 5 to 8 miles an hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. Thursday will be mostly sunny with a high near 85, and the chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 p.m. at night, mostly cloudy with a low around 68, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's always a chance of showers or thunderstorms or whatever. So it's just the way it is. And when I come back in my next life, I'm going to come back as a weatherman because they don't have to get it right any of the time and they get paid and they're on television. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor-supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited-time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Linda Bryant, who is the director at the Center for Healthy Aging. And I have to ask, I ask everybody, I may have asked you the last time you were on, I don't recall, but I ask people how they got into this line of work, because sometimes people will say, oh, something happened when I was 10 and I always wanted to do this, that, or the other, and that's how I got into it. And other people like me would say, well, I didn't have a job. I had 4 kids, a house, car payments, mortgage payments, insurance, and had to feed the family. So when the job came along with Wonder Bread and Hostess Cake, I jumped on it, and I was there for, 18 years after that. But so I was just curious, Linda, how did you get involved in this?
Well, to be honest with you, thank you, Larry, for inviting me to be on the show this afternoon. I've always wanted to be a nurse.
Okay.
And that's how I really started out. I had a real interest in caring for some of the more vulnerable people in our population, which are our seniors. Mm-hmm. And the more I got into dealing with that, the more I saw that there were some cognitive or memory issues. And the program that I run basically handles that kind of a situation. So coming on the radio to talk about memory is, for me, a joy, because I'd like to share with people what they can do and what they shouldn't do, you know, to maintain mm-hmm. their memory.
Right. And it's ironic, because the older I get, and I'm getting older.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, well, you know. When I look around, and we were talking with the folks that were on the show before, and the fellow was saying he had 4 kids, and he had, 2 boys who were 17 and 18, and then he had twin daughters that were, I think, 7, he said. I says, yeah, well, my youngest is 40, and I have 4 kids, so I don't even want to tell you how old the oldest is, but when my child is 40, I'm up there. But do you find that even, I won't say normally, because that's a poor choice of words, but as people get older, there's things that they don't quite remember?
Well, I think it happens to everyone,
yeah,
be honest with you. There are a lot of reasons that people have forgetfulness, memory impairment, whatever you want to label mm-hmm. it. And let me give you an example for younger people. And even for older people, you walk into a room and you say to yourself, oh, I forgot something and I want to go back to the other room. But meanwhile, you're walking through your living room and the hallway and you get to the other room and you go, I know I came in here for something, and you forgot what it was. A lot of it is distraction in a situation like that, because as you're going through that room, your mind's also thinking about other things,
right.
And you forget the
right.
thing that you originally thought about. But if you go back to the original room, you'll figure out what it was you forgot.
Yeah, I'm terrible with names. I always have been. I remember faces.
Yeah.
I 90% of the time remember where I know the person from. I just don't remember their name.
That's very common. Yeah.
And the fact is, too, that I've been teaching for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I've been teaching a family-to-family class for, 13 years. Been running a support group for at least 12. So you meet people in these situations, right. And they'll come up to me, hi, Larry, how are you? Well, I was their teacher, so they remember me, but I have maybe 500 people that I taught over the course of time, and I don't remember their names,
Well, it's true. When people serve the public in whatever capacity, whether it's medicine, teaching, even being someone who's working in ShopRite or some
right,
other store,
right.
You meet so many people and you know that face, but you don't always remember the name, even though they'll tell you. Name tags are wonderful.
Yeah, except they'd have everybody in the world would have to have one for me because I don't remember. I barely remember my wife's name, and we've been together over 50 years. No, I'm only kidding. But I'm not kidding about the 50 years. I'm kidding about remembering her name. But, you know, it's just I find it strange because some people I know who are older than I am. Oh, such and such. Oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, that's... And me, I'm going, huh?
That's probably a gift they've had their whole life. You know, there are some people that just, they connect with the name. And, okay. You know, maybe they make an effort to, you know, association with something that reminds them of their name is usually how people remember names.
I even took a Dale Carnegie course when I was a kid, and they said how to remember, you know, things, and I still can't remember them, you know, but that's me. But anyway, and your role at the medical center or 100 in healthcare is to deal with aging people?
Yeah, and just one other comment to make is that, you know, as I said earlier, memory can be affected no matter what your age.
Mm-hmm.
There could be medical reasons. There could be behavioral or mental health reasons. And there can be just, you know, issues with the brain that mm-hmm. need to be addressed. And some things can be dealt with, but it's really understanding what's causing it. And that's the most important message to say. Having memory loss is not normal, okay? Right. There's a normalcy to once in a while or forgetting a name. But when things are forgotten on a regular basis, normal things, I mean, remembering how to maybe start your coffee pot up in the morning and you've done it for 35 years, or, you know, forgetting your grandchildren's names, people that you know on a more right. intimate level. Those are the times when you have to stop and wonder a little bit if there's something wrong. So I also want to say that depression and stress have a great deal to do with memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about Alzheimer's disease, which we hear so much about.
Right, right.
But there are certain things out there that can be fixed or remedied or addressed to make life a little bit easier to remember.
And it's the people who come in contact with you and your organization, what are some of the behaviors that they display? That
well, it depends on the circumstances. You know, there are a number of different types of dementia,
mm-hmm.
and if you were to look at Alzheimer's disease as an example, there are different stages, and
right.
depending upon what stage of the disease they come to us, there are times where you'll see in the moderate to later stage an element of paranoia. Sometimes in the early stages you will see anger because they know something's wrong and they just can't
fix it.
fix it. It's out of their control, and there's a frustration which usually manifests in short-tempered and being angry at things and just not having the patience to do what you were able to do
right.
before.
My mother had, I don't know whether it was dementia or Alzheimer's, but and she needed care. And we had four young kids, and my wife was, you know, couldn't take her, and, you know, and I don't have any siblings. I was an only child. So consequently, we had to put my mom in a nursing home. And I'd go see her, and she'd, "Oh, Larry, you know who we had breakfast with this morning?" "No, Ma, who'd you have breakfast with?" I'm thinking she's going to say somebody in the thing. She, "Oh, I had breakfast. Marie Mitchell came, and I made it." Marie Mitchell was dead like 30 years prior to this, you know. And I'm saying, "Oh, really? Okay. Did you have a good time?" Because I didn't know what to say. You know, like, "You know, what are you kidding, Ma? You know, what?" And she progressively got worse, and then she didn't remember her grandchildren, and she had a very big relationship with her grandkids, my kids and her grandkids, and it was to the point where I couldn't bring the kids with me when I went, because she was just, it would just destroy them that they didn't, she right. didn't recognize them and no. And finally, she wouldn't talk at all. She just.
That's part of the disease, yeah.
And then she'd just get angry and look at me with that angry look on her face. And I'm saying, it's like, it's not my fault, Ma. I mean, I didn't do anything to cause this, you know? But, and she wouldn't talk for almost 2 years till she finally passed. And she was 94. Yeah, it was 94 when she passed.
It's not that she wouldn't talk. It's that she couldn't talk. Because what happens in those later stages is that they cannot find the words to express themselves. And, you know, the anger that she might have had in her eyes or the frustration is that she would have loved to have said something to you, even if she said, don't talk to me. But she couldn't find the words to say anything. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the sad part of it, because right. being with individuals who you've known your whole life or for a good part of your life, there's always something that, whether it's an I love you or I miss you or I wish I could do something for you or any of those kinds of warm, fuzzy feelings that you get from those kind of words are just not there for them. They need to hear it, but they can't return it. And mm-hmm. that is a sad part of that disease.
Right.
Because you're losing this individual. They have no control. None at all on anything from minute to minute, what they remember or they don't remember. And sometimes they have these absolute moments of clarity, and you feel like, wow, what happened? And it's just one of those things, you know, right. it's just a right. moment.
Right.
If you can experience with them and find a reminiscence that was, you know, wonderful and fun, it's a gift, it's a blessing.
Right, right. Now, people talk about Alzheimer's and they talk about dementia. What is the difference? The basic difference. I know there's probably a lot of differences. You know.
No, that's a good question. Well, dementia is a group of symptoms. Symptoms would be memory loss, word finding difficulty, and unable to do certain behaviors or certain activities that you would do on a normally regular day.
Okay.
Now, the most common disease that has those three symptoms is Alzheimer's disease. 70% of people that have dementia have Alzheimer's.
Okay.
The second most common disease that has dementia symptoms is cardiovascular. Mm. People who have had a stroke.
Right.
Okay. People that have had any kind of brain bleed right. or a clot in the brain that cut off oxygen. What happens when that occurs, some of the brain cells die and you're left with a deficit. And depending upon in the brain where the stroke or the clot occurred or the brain bleed, will determine what's affected. Is it speech? Is it vision? Is it the ability to swallow? There's a whole number of things the brain controls. So that's what determines exactly what the symptoms are with cardiovascular type dementia. And then there's one other type, and that's Lewy body dementia.
Right.
And with Lewy body dementia, a lot of people that have Parkinson's disease develop that later in their illness, usually towards the very end stages of their illness. And with that, there may be hallucinations, there's just difficulty, many of the other symptoms you'd find in the other dementias. But it's progressive. All of them are progressive. They're not reversible. And once you have it, the main thing that caregivers need to understand is that there isn't much that they can do except be supportive, help people through the things they can't do. To love them, not blame them, because they have absolutely no control.
Right.
And even when they get angry, to understand this is part of the disease. It's not being mean. It's not being revengeful or anything like that. It's part of the disease. It's very tough for caregivers. It's very tough.
I would think it would be. How does a caregiver learn to cope with these behaviors?
That's a good question.
If they're not going to put the person in a, you know, like we had no choice.
Yeah.
My mother couldn't live on her own anymore. She lived in Teaneck in a house. She had her own house in Teaneck. But she couldn't live there anymore. Neighbor came in one day and found her on the floor, you know, and she knew the neighbor for 20 plus years. And she got all excited because there was a stranger in her house.
Right.
You know? So the neighbor called me, and like I said, we brought my mother to our house for a short period of time, but with four young kids, and, you know, it was kind of tough.
Oh, sure, for only, you and for
we only had three bedrooms, you know. Thank God we had a daughter, you know, and three boys in one room, a daughter in the other, and ours, you know, my wife and I. So there was, like, no other room, you know. So it was tough. But we found a, we felt was a very good nursing home in the area. And I hated to do it, but I had no choice. And at first she loved it because they'd go on trips and she would go on a bus trip with them and all that, you know. But for caregivers who can't or don't want to put someone in a home, like I said, we didn't have much choice. But how do they cope, learn to cope with this?
Well, for some that understand the situation and are willing to look at options, there are some options. There is the option of bringing people in to the home to be with them, to give the caregiver a break, to have an afternoon off or a day off. There are respite services that are out there. There's even money from the state through the state respite program, and Hunterdon County does have a state respite representative, whereby even if you wanted to get away for a long weekend or a week, there is money to have someone stay in a facility for a period of time, or to have someone come in the home and be there 24/7 in your absence. I will say that one of the most important things for a caregiver is education. Number one, to understand what the illness is and what it does and how it progresses, so that there's no surprises and they anticipate and understand what it is that they think they will be able to cope with, and think about what are the things they can't cope with. Because if they can't cope with it, then you have to look at what the alternatives are, just as you did. And one of the things that I find that a lot of our caregivers find very helpful is to be a part of a caregiver support group.
Right.
And I say that because people are going through the very same thing, usually, that you're going through. People may be in different phases of it.
Different stages of it, right.
Some have learned some lessons that you have to learn. And so it's important to hear the wisdom
right.
that a lot of these people have acquired, probably through Hard Knocks, the School of Hard Knocks.
Right.
But it's also very supportive when you're going through it. People understand it and can say, wow, I remember when I was there. You don't feel so alone. You feel like people get it, what you're, when even when you're angry and say, I can't stand this another day. You know, I'm up every morning, I'm up every night, I need sleep. And to hear how people dealt with it.
Right, right.
So it's being supportive. It's finding help along the way on that journey.
Right. And, you know, it's ironic because I'm involved with NAMI, I think you know, and because of my youngest son. And we run a support group for people with mental health who have mental health issues in their family or either friend, somebody they work with or a relative or whatever. And it's so true what you're saying. Because people come and they're like in a crisis, and some of us have been there, you know, and gone through it. Some of them are still going through it, like the other person that's coming there. So it's so helpful, you know, to give thoughts. Well, we tried this and this worked, or we tried this and it didn't work, but it may work for you, but you could try it, you know, that sort of thing. And to see the, I don't want to say relief, but people feel happy that there are people that are out there
right.
that have gone through this, that they're not alone. Right. And that's basically what it's all about, not being alone.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I think that's pretty, you know, pretty great.
Yeah, I think that what happens to a lot of people, especially if it's a couple who is very social, and one of them develops a dementia, many times the person with the dementia doesn't really want to socialize anymore.
Right.
Because there is an element of awareness that something's wrong, but they just don't want to be around people to see or reveal what's going on for them. But what happens to the caregiver is there becomes a social isolation that is unhealthy. And what happens is other friends see them either pulling away or they don't want to be with people where they suspect that there is some kind of dementia going on. And so these people lose that socialization that keeps them engaged. And there's a loneliness that comes into one's life when you choose that route. So it's important to be with people that are understanding, accepting, helpful, you know, and you'll laugh with these people. You'll cry with these people. They become like family, extended family.
Yeah. I have a good friend of mine who I met through church, actually, and he wrote a book just recently called The Dancing Dementia Dude. And he was a lawyer, and he opened a charter school, and now has developed the start of dementia, or Alzheimer's. And, you know, it's, we were talking to his wife and everything, and it's kind of tough for her because she's got a very good job that's, you know, she takes a lot of time up too. Their two daughters are grown, but they support the family. And, you know, this fellow would do something, and I'd look at his wife, I say, he all right? You know, because before I knew actually what was going on. And she says, yeah, he just gets a little, sometimes too many people, you know, and he can't handle it, and he'll go out and take a walk. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, you know. And then when I found out, you know, he sent me the book before it actually was published, and it was, you know, I read it, and I said, wow, you know, it really took a lot of guts to put this out like that, because he's telling experiences that he went through and or is going through and stuff, and so I thought it was kind of, you know, that we're talking about it today, and we were just, you know, but yeah, you know, and
a lot of the people that are diagnosed early on, several of them have written wonderful books that express exactly what the feelings were and what they try to do, and they try to embrace where they are and not withdraw. But to, excuse me, remain as involved as they possibly can with life, with the people they love, so that people need a certain amount of stimulation, even people who are well. So isolation is very detrimental to older adults and especially to people with dementia and caregivers. And the engagement into music, into art, into conversation, or just being with another person, going for a walk, going for a ride in the car, whatever is comfortable, is very important because nature is very stimulating. Music is one of those wonderful arts that just crosses the barrier that people can still enjoy regardless of dementia or not. And it's the same with art. So I think it's important for everyone to, as you age, to avoid that isolation, regardless of whether you have dementia. Engagement and stimulation is a good thing. Now, to answer or just to comment on your friend where they had a party or something for him, did you say that when there's a lot of people around, he likes
In church sometimes. Sometimes he can go through the whole service and it's fine.
And other times he can't.
And other times he'll get up in the middle of it and walk out. You know,
It can become overwhelming. Too much stimulation. There was a gentleman that came to our program, and his wife had dementia, and she was amazing in that she was able to keep up her appearances. You know, she was really able to care for herself pretty well. But as time went on, some of that started to drop off. And he helped her as much as he could. And he said, you know, for her 80th birthday, I want to give her a wonderful birthday party. I know she's losing abilities, but I want her families to see her. And they had this beautiful birthday party for her 80th out somewhere in New York. And she was miserable. She couldn't wait to leave. And that's what happens. It's just overwhelming to have that many people. And what one of the probably hardest things for her to overcome was she couldn't remember anybody.
Yeah.
You know, the last things that you learn are the first things you lose. So these friends who she may not have seen for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who are you?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, he's comfortable. We go out for breakfast every now and then. And he's comfortable with that, going to a diner or something, as long as it's not a lot of people, you know. But, you know, it's just interesting, you know.
It depends on the stage. And, you know,
well, there's different stages that they go through. And, you know,
the caregivers have to take their cues. You know, they have to see how things are going, what seems to work, what things don't work.
Yeah, his wife is very into it and, you know. So very on top of the situation and such. Do you have any, lack of better word, tips to keep how people can keep the mind sharp before we get into?
Yeah, I do. One of the things in our memory center that we look at, especially if it's younger people, we also look at it as people age when they come in with memory problems. But believe it or not, there are some young people that we've been seeing. The incidence of diabetes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol have everything to do not only with the body but the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So if your blood sugars are out of control and your cholesterol is elevated, all of these things will affect your brain function. So one of the things we try to emphasize, and you're going to hear people say this all, that you should be eating properly, you should be seeing your doctor, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a diabetic, diabetes is not just an elevated sugar. It becomes a disease of small blood vessels. And you have blood vessels in the brain. And so there could be a greater incidence of dementia with that. It's important to keep those blood sugars in control.
Right.
And eat as much as you can the right food. You know, splurging here and there might not be a big issue, but if you're continuously doing that, it does take a toll. It's the same thing with high cholesterol, high triglycerides. Keeping all of the chronic illnesses that you take medicines for in control is what's going to really save your brain or protect your brain more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just for basics. Not everybody has those conditions. And sometimes the Alzheimer's patients are some of the most healthy people we've seen physically. It's amazing. So you do the best you can. One of the things that also is important is exercise. And you don't have to do calisthenics. Walking every single day, once or twice a day, even if you take a 15-minute walk twice a day after a meal, perfect. It keeps your blood circulation, gives your muscles the activity they need. Also keeps your bones stronger, too, while you're doing that exercise.
And if you're watching television, every commercial, get up and walk around.
Exactly. I love commercials for that reason.
My wife does that. She gets up and walks around.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you're up, you're down. You just think of all the muscles you're using just getting out of the chair, doing stairs or whatever. And also, as we do get older, we do have to be a little more conscious of the number of calories we're eating, the kinds of foods we're eating. Eating a lot of bread, eating a lot of starch, eating a lot of high-fat carbs, as much as they taste wonderful, they are not doing you a whole lot of good. So you want to watch your calorie count a little bit. Try to make up for that time by socializing and having some fun, though. Get out there and be with friends, walk with friends, go to the mall and walk. Do something in a park and walk. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful day. Take your dog with you if you have an animal that, you know, you have to take for a walk. That's an important thing. One of the things that you're going to love this, Larry, don't smoke.
Yeah. No, trust me, I know.
Well, and you know what it's like to stop, which is hard, but it also does affect, you know, people to have the ability to do exercise, you know, if they're short of breath and that kind of thing. So it's important not to smoke, or if you are, to stop, which you did. You did the right thing.
Long time ago.
That's wonderful.
But I still have really a touch of emphysema from it, so.
So also engaging and stimulating conversation, fun activities, things that make you think a little bit. Computer games are great.
Playing Scrabble.
Scrabble, absolutely. Monopoly.
Yeah, anything where you have to think, right?
Cards.
Yeah,
even
cards, right?
Cards.
Even cards, right?
Definitely.
I say Scrabble because my wife belongs to a Scrabble group that meets on Fridays, you know, and they play Scrabble.
That's wonderful.
But she tries to get me to play, and I go, yeah, you just want to beat me, that's all. You know?
Well, not everybody's a great speller, so.
I can spell, I just can't think of the words. You know?
But, you know, if you're problem solving, card games are great to do that with, you know. Even if you play with your grandchildren, go fish, you know, matching things up. That's a great way to kind of stimulate the brain. And I will tell you something, if you don't have ease with dealing with your cell phone or your computer, engaging with your grandchildren, who are so adept at anything that's technology, they'll teach you. Learning something new is a great way to keep the brain stimulated. So it's also at the same time wonderful to be able to interact with your grandchildren.
Sure.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun.
My youngest is 21, going to be 22, so she's the youngest of three. But
well, you'll be doing great-grandchildren soon.
Oh, yeah, please. You know, I don't want to think about that.
But that's the most important thing, and I think for breaking isolation, some people don't live in an area where there's a lot of people, or maybe they're sort of a lone survivor. One of the ways to break that isolation is to volunteer. You know, the library, the hospital, United Way. There are so many different organizations that really look for volunteers. Intergenerational is really great, working with students. So it's
just about any nonprofit is looking for volunteers, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that I do suggest. Not everybody likes the same thing, so you just have to look and see, pick and choose the things you like to do.
If someone suspects that their loved one or relative or whatever may have Alzheimer's or some form of dementia, what should they do?
Well, I think that if the spouse can talk, you know, if the person is married that has the disease, can talk to their spouse about it and say how they feel, whether they're frightened or upset or nervous about it, and if they can have a spouse who can be understanding and say, well, why don't we see what we can find out about it and determine where you are, or maybe it's something else, we never know. One of the things that someone can be depressed, and it seems like they might have dementia. It might be two medications that are mixing that are causing confusion.
Right.
So you have to rule out all of these things and not assume the worst, but find out. That's the key thing.
Right.
And if they do, they should make an appointment. They can start with their family doctor. If their doctor feels like all the family doctors in the community are doing these mini cog tests. And it just gives them an idea if there's an element of difficulty developing.
Right.
And I know that many of them will send patients to us. If people feel that they're too far along and they want to get moving, they can certainly call us. We'll see them. We always contact the family doctor. But get it assessed. Find out what it is. Find out what you can do about it. And, you know, it's not always a fix, but you need to know what resources are out there. What are the things that are there to support you, to help you, that will get you through it, that may make life easier? All of these things right. are at our geriatric program.
What is the Central Jersey Regional Memory Center?
Well, we are currently on Westcott Drive. We are not in the hospital right now. We used to be, but we're not anymore. But we are in a building on the campus. So if you're on Westcott Drive and you're coming in through Route 31, you just stay right on Westcott Drive, right past the hospital, and we are on the we're the last building on the right before you hit the Sandhill Road.
Right. Yeah. For the stop sign there.
There's a
it's before the stop sign.
It's
before the stop sign. Yeah. Right.
It's a two-story building. We're on the first right. floor, and actually, urology is going to be moving mm-hmm. to our building, which we're thrilled to have new neighbors. And upstairs in the building is LabCorp and
right.
A
Lab
dentist.
LabCorp is up there. Yes, that I know. What can someone expect during the first visit to your center?
That's a good question. One of the things we do even before they come through our door, we do what they call an intake. We find okay. out what the reason is that they're coming, to understand a little bit about the issue. So we ask a number of questions, and then we make an appointment. The appointment might not be for 4 weeks, and part of the reason is behind that we need a couple of things. We need to get records from physicians so we understand what medications they're supposed to be on, when they started them, and all that kind of information. Also, it's good to know what other conditions they're being treated for,
mm-hmm.
so we have some pieces right. to the puzzle that might also be... For us, it's like putting the puzzle together, all mm-hmm. the different pieces. So that takes a little time to get. And the second thing is we like the families to fill out some questionnaires to make them think about what's been happening. Because when you get into a doctor's office, sometimes you forget everything. You know, you're worried, you're thinking of other things, or you're, the person you're with may distract you, or it may not be a good day, or whatever.
Right.
So when we have people write it down, it helps to gather information, which is very important, because you have to know what the history is.
Sure.
To really put everything together. So when you come in, one of the things the doctor will do is sit down and review all of the information, do some testing on paper, ask them to do certain mm-hmm. tests. In some instances, if people we feel can sit at a computer for a little bit of time, we have some computer tests that are very helpful. We usually find generally most younger people do that pretty well. As the stage of Alzheimer's increases, where there's a lot of loss, that's not something we would have someone go through. It would be very frustrating to do that. So we do a lot of testing. There's an opportunity for the doctor to spend time with the patient and the family alone, and the social worker. And the team comes together and they look at everything. And then they'll bring the family and the patient together again, and they talk about what the findings are. It usually takes anywhere from 2 to 3 hours for this process.
Okay.
It's not a 15-minute appointment, mm-hmm. obviously. And at the end of it, we can usually give an idea of what the issues are, at least what they're thinking, and what kinds of recommendations they would make. Sometimes medication is advised, especially if it's depression or if they qualify for a memory medication, we mm-hmm. will do that as well. And we will have them come back in about 4 to 6 weeks after the medication has kicked in to see how they're doing. And we do not substitute for the family doctor. We are a help to the family doctor.
Right.
So if it's anything to do with their memory or Alzheimer's, whatever they get diagnosed with, we would be happy to follow up with them. but for all other illnesses, you know, urinary infections or, you know, flu shots or your regular checkups for blood pressure, that's all the family doctor's responsibility.
Sure.
But we always communicate with the family doctor.
All right. After, you know, the initial visit and they come back 4 to 6 weeks, whatever, later, what happens in that visit?
In that visit, we may even do, well, first of all, we'll take a history of how things went with the medications, how they're feeling, have there been any changes, have anything improved. We're looking at not only medications and suggestions for the patient, but also for the caregiver. Because many times when the caregiver comes in, they are in such a distraught state of mind that we also have to work with the caregiver as well. And we want to see if some of the suggestions we made for them is working. So we're looking at two different people and their needs.
Right, right.
Okay. So we're checking in. If it's medication and we need to increase it, we'll increase it. If we need to decrease it, we'll decrease it. Usually most people are doing a little bit better because there's a sense of, I understand what I have now. Sometimes the medication has made a difference, particularly if it's a depression that you're trying to remedy. And then we might not see them for 6 months.
Quick question. Do you find that sometimes the caregiver and the person with the either dementia or Alzheimer's see things differently?
Oh, yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, very differently. I think sometimes it can go either way. If the patient is in denial, you know, it's not so. It could be denial, but it's also sometimes protecting themselves from having to tell anybody what's wrong.
Right.
And if it's the caregiver, it's like, oh my God, I don't want this to be true. You know, you love them, and you don't want to see them hurting.
Absolutely.
And so it can go either way. We've also seen scenarios, and I think these situations can be difficult too, where you have a person with some form of dementia and their family, a number of their children come in together to be through the process, which is good. We like that because we can put everybody on the same page. But usually when multiple family members come through the door, they're not on the same page. Someone is saying, oh, no. Someone's saying, oh, yes.
Yeah, right.
And the other one's saying, maybe. I don't know what to believe. So that's why it's important for everyone to come in so they can all get their questions answered and see how the individual does.
Are there different types of memory problems that you treat?
Well, yes. Depending upon what the history is and what the diagnosis is, we definitely will try to narrow down what the actual reason for the dementia symptoms are. So we've seen people with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
We've seen people with cardiovascular dementia. We've seen people with Lewy body dementia. We've seen them with frontal lobe. We've also seen a mixed dementia where someone will also have cardiovascular and Alzheimer's together. Right. They have a history of the cardiovascular disease, and some of the symptoms allude to both being on board. Now, having said that, we also see other things that need to be made attention. And depending upon history, if someone is a farmer, they have indoor-outdoor animals, they hike, they live on a very rural area, a lot of grass and trees. We're going to look for Lyme disease.
Okay.
Because Lyme disease in the older adult many times can manifest as a dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be treated because it does affect the neurological system of the individual.
Sure.
So as you can see, it's not always about the Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
You're looking for anything that could possibly be wrong with the brain.
Right, right. And, you know, there's different stages, too, of dementia, correct? I mean, they can go for 2-3 years at one stage and
Yeah.
Go down another stage for another right. couple of years and so on and so forth, correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. This is usually, you know, they have broken it down into six stages, you know, more specific, but generally they refer to the three stages of initial, moderate, and the long-term lasting time.
Right. It's just amazing to me how many people can be affected by this. You know,
yeah.
when you stop and think, you know, and you don't have to be 70 or 80 years old.
That's absolutely right.
You know, there's people in their late 30s, early 40s that have this.
I haven't seen anybody in their 30s. I have seen people in their 30s with memory problems. Most of them have come in with Lyme disease, believe it. They complain of brain fog.
Okay.
But in 40s and 50s, we are seeing, 40s mostly, we're seeing mild cognitive impairment. And a number of those can, over time, transition into Alzheimer's disease. We have seen that. And we are in late 40s and 50s. We are seeing people coming in with Alzheimer's disease.
Now, is there any, I don't want to call it treatment, but counseling that the caregiver can come in without the person?
Yes.
And receive?
Yes. We can do individual counseling. We do have a social worker. Their master's prepared, and they are licensed social workers that can counsel. And because of their specializing in geriatrics, they're very much aware of the caregiver's issues and the difficulty that comes with being a caregiver with someone with dementia.
Right.
Actually, the incidence of depression in caregivers taking care of dementia patients, right. 66%.
And that's understandable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're experiencing a grief and loss.
Sure.
Long before the individual passes.
Sure, if it's a parent or, you know, yeah. sister or brother or,
yeah.
you know, it's their family and, you know.
Right.
So I can understand that totally. And being with NAMI and deal with people who have someone in their family with depression, I can understand it, you know.
Anybody who's dealing with an individual who is suffering from a chronic illness where it's progressive and you're not seeing any improvement. It is a tremendous loss.
Sure it
for
is.
Both.
Sure it is. Yeah.
And that's why I always say to nurses, you know, in the hospital and families on the outside, it's not just about the patient, it's about you who are caring for them.
Right.
You have to understand it.
Exactly. In our last 30 seconds or so that we have, if someone wanted to make an appointment or get some more information, how would they go about that?
Sure. They could call us at 908-788-6373. That's 908-788-6373. And just say that you'd like to have an appointment for your loved one or for yourself, if you would like, to go through the process to see about your memory impairment or memory loss.
Is there a website that they could look at?
They can go on the Hunterdon Healthcare website and look for senior services.
Okay. Linda, I can't thank you enough for being here and a lot of information that you've given out today. And I hope it helped somebody, you know.
I do too. I just know that there are people that need this information so much, and
right.
we're there for them.
Right. Folks, you've been listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. Larry Cartwright, your host. We will not be here next week. Next week is Monday, July 3rd, and it's a long weekend, and, you know, people may take off Monday and, you know, for a four-day weekend for the July 4th. So we will be back in 2 weeks. So take care of yourself, and if you think you have someone in your family with a dementia or Alzheimer's, or you feel like you need somebody to talk to, you can call Linda at
908-788-6373. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you very much.
Email every 10 seconds or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness.